from a Republican standpoint, you have a new governor. You want to give him plenty of time to get his feet under him. I believe that he sincerely believed in the means that he was using to turn the state around. We know that in order to keep from having to raise our taxes, what you want to do is have a broader tax base as opposed to higher taxes. So ideologically, we know that what we want to do is bring a lot of new businesses in. I'm a trickle-down person, so I actually, you know, believe that if we bring more businesses in, that will be passed on. I've owned my own business, so I know that what I would have done if I had extra money, I would have invested it back into my business. I would have put more seats in my restaurant. I would have hired more servers. So that's really what trickle-down is all about. So I understand what the basis is for the governor's ideology. The unfortunate thing is that that the speaker doesn't, his ideology is different. So when you have a supermajority coming in, when I was first elected supermajority Democrat in the Senate, supermajority Democrat in the House, as a minority member of the House, my philosophy has been get what I can get, push as hard as I can push, and at some point you got to cut the deal. And I don't mean that cutting the deal in a negative way. I mean that you have to get, I have to push constantly to get what I can get for my district. As someone who helped negotiate union contracts, I've sat on the management side of that. I've sat on the labor side of it. So on the labor side, I would say sometimes my job was to get as much as I could get and give up as little as I had to. Sometimes I would joke about it and say, get as much money as I could for working the least amount of hours, okay? That's on the labor side. On the management side, I would want to get as much work as I could out of my employees, maybe and not give more benefits, not give more money. That's the nature of negotiations, and you'd move towards the middle. For about 2 years, I'm not sure that we were able to move at all towards the middle. So you come to a place where I would say it came to a head, where you're sitting on a Sunday afternoon, less than 24 hours before the state of Illinois is going to go into junk bond status. So as a legislator, a month prior to that, some of what we were looking at was information given to legislators that said if the state went to junk bond status, universities and colleges were going to be reviewed to see if they would keep their accreditation. Now, for someone who represents SIU, that's very dangerous because SIU had already gone to junk bond status. What does junk bond status mean? The gist of it is you can no longer borrow money. So the large banks, if you will, just to keep it simple, the large banks that loan to universities, to municipalities, to entities of government would be prohibited in most cases from loaning. In fact, by law, they couldn't even do that. So a component of getting us out of the mess that we were in was to do some bonding, reborrowing, if you will. So you want to keep that rate as low as you can. If the state of Illinois went to junk bond status, it was a very real possibility that SIU would go to junk bond status. So where we were at a point where SIU couldn't borrow, which we kind of have seen in the conversation about new housing, the state of Illinois would have been in that same mess. So if we had to go borrow money, if we could have even found anyone to loan the state any money, it would have been at the rate that you could compare at home between a home mortgage loan and a payday loan. So even if we could have found a bank that by law could have loaned to us, would have been loaning it to us at such a high rate, who knows how we would have paid it back. So we were looking at the possibility of junk bond status. We were looking at the possibility of universities and colleges having their accreditation taken. I'm looking at the possibility in my district, the fact that I have so many state employees. I would just rattle a couple things off for in or around this district. So in the region, a university, 5 community colleges, 7 prisons, 3 IDOT facilities, 3 CMS facilities, a veterans home, 3 mental health facilities. And I can go on and on and on because we have we have employment offices and VA offices and all of that. All of those folks have employees who whose health insurance hasn't been paid for 2 years. So then factor in Southern Illinois Healthcare and SSM Good Samaritan in Mount Vernon, and you have two of the largest employers and healthcare providers in our region who were both owed over $100 million in just reimbursements from state employee insurance. So on the Wednesday before we voted on the budget, the comptroller tells us that mid-August, we are no longer, our court-ordered spending was going to overtake our revenue. Now, to someone who has that many state employees in their region and in their district, I look at that, and what translates to me is our state employees are not going to get their paychecks at the end of August or into September. So that's just with the announcement from the comptroller on the Wednesday prior to voting on the budget. On Friday, after the comptroller had already said that, you may remember that state of Illinois was given multiple months, 6 months maybe to a year, from the courts to get our Medicaid payments in line. The courts said, if you don't get your Medicaid payments in line, we're going to tell you how much you have to pay. So after the comptroller making her announcement on the Wednesday prior to the budget vote, courts come out on that Friday, June 30th, and say, you didn't get your house in order, so now you've got to pay another $300 million a month. So in addition to running out of money in August, we now have to pay an additional $300 million a month in Medicaid payments. It was the perfect storm for absolute disaster. I believed that on Friday, June 30th, the bond rating companies were going to move us to junk bond status. I think we were blessed in getting a little bit of breathing room when they didn't do it on Friday. It was guaranteed to happen by all three rating companies on Monday. We voted on the budget on Sunday. On Monday morning, two of the bond rating companies, one bond rating company announced they were not going to move us to junk bond status. The other two said they would be reviewing. And then you know that additionally then after that we also put the new school funding formula in place. So the bond rating companies have begun to see that rank and file members of the legislature have begun to rise up and tell their leadership that we are a divided government. We will cooperate with our leadership, meaning the Democrats with Speaker Madigan and the Republicans with both Jim Durkin and the governor when we agree. But when we don't agree, we will rise up and we will voice our opinion about our districts. If I made a mistake throughout this whole budget thing, it was probably not being more aggressive. I'm not even going to say assertive, because ultimately it boiled down to being aggressive on the budget negotiations that did transpire. So if I made a mistake, it was waiting 2 years to rise up. But you know, I'm still kind of new at this. I'm only in my third year.